Sahana Vavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, Sahavidyan Karavavahai, Tejasvinavadhitamastu Ma Vidvishavahai. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Om, very good. Welcome back. Welcome also to the students attending this class online. We continue with our study of this final chapter of the Uddhava Gita, and introduced it briefly in the last class. We said that the prior chapter was mostly on jnanam, spiritual wisdom. This chapter shifts to bhakti, not surprisingly, being part of the Bhagavata Purana, which is such a bhakti-oriented scripture. When I was getting ready for class today, an interesting thought came to mind. In our last class, we saw the... in fact, let's put the slides up. I want to show the very first slide here, which is... yeah. So it begins with this question from Uddhava. He begins, Sudushcharam imam, Sudushcharam imam manye. He says, manye, I consider imam, everything that you've told me so far in the prior chapter, I consider it duscharam, very difficult to grasp. He's complaining. Is he not? Uddhava is complaining to whom? Sri Krishna. My gosh. It's a complaint. Of course, you know, we can understand why. So the teachings, and he goes on to say that to really grasp these teachings that Sri Krishna gave in a prior chapter, your mind has to be really, we like this expression, fine-tuned. That's a nice expression. It means the mind has to be fully prepared. Mind has to be capable of tremendous concentration and focus and attention. And Uddhava says, you know, that's going to be really hard to follow, those practices. They're so demanding. So it sounds a little bit like a complaint, which is why two verses later, we see the shift to a long, and we saw this in the prior class, a shift to a long meter, very long meter, 14 syllables per line, and very flowery language. And the insight I had is after asking his question, now Uddhava is praising Sri Krishna in several very flowery verses. It's like he's making up for his complaint. Have you ever done you say something wrong to someone and then you have to kind of smooth it over, as it were? And it looks to me anyway like Uddhava is doing that. And we have two more verses in which he's trying to smooth over, as it were, what sounds like a complaint. These verses continue in his really long meter. It's very flowery, high poetry. We don't see that in the Mahabharata. Mahabharata stays to shorter meters, and it's more concerned with telling a story. But in all of the Puranas, you'll see a variety of styles. Some of it is just telling you the story. Some of it is giving spiritual teachings. But some of it gets really poetic. And when you want to be poetic in Sanskrit, the rule is use a long meter. That's the rule, and that's what we see here. I'll try to break the lines a little bit so it's a little bit easier to recite. Twam ha, twam twa kilatma, tam twa kilatma, daiteshwaram ashritanam, daiteshwaram ashritanam, Sarvartadam, Sarvartadam, Swakrita Vidvristraje Konu, Swakrita Vidvristraje Konu, Visrajeta, I mispronounced. Kovabhajet, Kovabhajet, Kimapi Vidvisrajayenu Bhutyai. Kimapi Visrajayenu Bhutyai. Kim Vabhajet Bhavin. Kim Vabhavin. Natava Padarajo Jusham Naha. Natava Padarajo Jusham Naha. So that long meter is a little harder to recite. Called Vasanta Tilaka. All these meters have their own special names, ways of chanting them. Okay, so Sri Krishna, I'm sorry, here, continues to smooth over his complaint, and he does so by praising Sri Krishna. Look at the second line. Ho visrajeta, at the end of the second line. Ho visrajeta, who indeed could reject you? You meaning fail to seek you. O Krishna, who could possibly fail seek you? Kritavit, know accomplishments. If they know who you truly are, they possibly reject you. Let me turn the volume up just a little bit. Could they reject you? And Uddhava describes who is Sri Krishna? Krishna is, in the first line, tam tu, the one who, akhila atma, the one who is the self of all, the one who is dayita, Ishvaram, the one who is the Ishvaram, the Lord, who is Daita, the most dear aspect of Ishvara. And Ashratanam, for his devotees, Sarvarta, in the second line, Sarvarta Dam, the one who blesses his devotees with boons, by fulfilling their prayers. And then he goes on to praise Sri Krishna, kova bhajet, in the third line, kova bhajet kimapi. But who would bother seeking worldly pleasures? That's a bit of a paraphrase. Who would bother seeking worldly pleasures? When you stand here in front of me, who would bother seeking anything else other than poetic language? And something interesting. Bother seeking worldly pleasures, kimapi, or even smritaye anubhutyai. Even anubhuti, the experience. Just kicking in and out. Om, test. It went on and off? I thought so. Okay, keep it. If it continues to do that, we may have to check it out. But right now, we're okay? We're okay. Okay, so who would bother seeking worldly pleasures or even anubhuti, the last word, even seeking the experience vismritaye. And here we have to interpret, and we need the commentator's help here. Vismriti means forgetting. Forgetting what? In this case, forgetting all your troubles. So this is kind of a poetic way of describing moksha, attaining the experience, literally it means, who would bother attaining the experience of forgetfulness? But we can understand its meaning to be, who would bother seeking moksha, seeking to transcend the world? When you are, and here's the context, well, when Lord Krishna is standing here in the world, who would bother transcending it? Why get away from it? And by the way, let me point out that that here, specifically, moksha as conceived by the ancient rishis and as taught by Sri Shankara, moksha here is dismissed. Pay attention, this is interesting. Moksha here is dismissed as being inferior to bhakti. That's what it says. Moksha, when Uddhava says, who would even bother seeking moksha? You're here. Who would bother seeking moksha? So it may sound surprising that moksha here is actually dismissed as being inferior to bhakti, but that's hardly surprising when you consider what we're studying. What we're studying is not Upanishad. What we're studying is part of the Bhagavata Purana. So it is so important to put these teachings into context. The main theme of the Bhagavata Purana is bhakti. And for the sake of promoting bhakti, bhakti is praised as being superior to moksha. Of course, if you study Upanishads and other texts, will say that moksha is superior to bhakti. So be ready for this. And if you complain, but Swamiji, why are these scriptures so inconsistent? One scripture says moksha is the ultimate goal. Another scripture says bhakti is the highest. Why don't our scriptures teach one and the same thing? You've heard me address that before, right? Remember our discussions about adhikari bheda? And the teaching that these teachings are meant to address a wide range of spiritual practitioners. And this, people will complain, Hinduism is self-contradictory or confusing. In fact, this is the glory of the Hindu tradition. Most other religious traditions give you one option. One option, like Allah is the Lord and God, there is no God other than Allah. Is there any other option? There's no other option. Or Jesus is your Lord and Savior. Only by accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior will you be spared from eternal damnation. Any other option? No. Most religious traditions give you a choice of one. How different are these teachings that we find in the Hindu tradition, which acknowledge our individual differences and give us different texts, different traditions, different teachings according to our individual needs. So what looks like a defect, if you say it says one thing here and it says another thing there, in my mind, that's not a defect at all. This is really the glory of this Hindu tradition. So be ready, and especially when you're studying Puranas, you'll find all kinds of different, especially in the Puranas. In fact, we'll see another example of that in the next verse. So let's go on. This is the last of these flowery verses of praise. So in that long meter.
Naivopayantyapachitim. Naivopayantyapachitim. Vayastavesha. Vayastavesha. Mhayushahapi. Mhayushahapi. Mridham mudhah smarantaha. Mridham mudhah smarantaha. O antar bahis. O antar bahis. Nubhratama shubham vidhanvan. Shubham vidhanvan. Acharya chaitya vapusha. Acharya vapusha. Agatim vyanakti. Agatim vyanakti.
It's cutting in and out. It does. So then, okay, if it's only cutting out in the hall, cutting out, let me see here. Give me just 1 second. I can see some lights flashing here. Ah. I don't know. Anyway, we'll see and see how it goes. So, line last one, it's going out a lot. And I'm concerned that it's not going on the recording, because I can see, I thought I saw here. One more minute. Yeah, coming on the recording. Here, it cuts out and is not yet over there. In fact, right now it's gone, right? Do you see anything there? You don't? Well, now it's back on. So anyway, I can confirm here that it's not being recorded either, because I can see the mixer here, and this is before it comes to that console. Okay. If it cuts out too much, we may want to end the class a little bit early, because the recording will not come out well. And you know, and this is out of respect to the online students. You know, we have 100 of us are here for the class, but there are actually 1,000 or two people watching this online. So out of respect for the online students, if the sound cuts out too often, then perhaps we'll wind up this class later and then address the problem. Anyway, let's continue. As long as it's working. Anything else? Okay, sorry for the interruption. Let's continue, see how we go. So, last verse of praise where Uddhava says, towards the end of the first line, we need this, by the way, in poetry, you really have to be kind of, what do they say, nimble on your feet, because you jump around a lot. Towards the end of the first line is the subject of the sentence, kavayaha. Kavi usually means poet, here it means enlightened sage. So enlightened sages, enlightened sages, what about them? Na eva upayanti. These sages are not able to upayanti, to express what? Apachitim, their gratitude. So the ancient sages receive these teachings, perhaps from Sri Krishna, perhaps from other rishis. They receive these teachings, and these teachings are so powerful. Let's stay focused on Sri Krishna. These teachings of Sri Krishna, as understood by the ancient rishis, are so wonderful that these sages, that I need to, hey, come back. This is not looking very good. Give me just, I'm just going to wiggle. This is just to make a bad joke here. Because in high school, I managed to get a job in a television repair shop. And the owner of the shop, this is Milwaukee, which has a large Polish population. This is Milwaukee in the 1970s. The owner of the shop was John Podgorski. And he showed me how to fix TVs, banging on them in the right place. These are the old TVs with a gazillion tubes and all of this stuff. Anyway, apply what John Podgorski told me. And I'm going to not bang on anything, but wiggle some connectors around. Usually when something is intermittent, often it's a connector. So that's what I'm doing right now. I'll wiggle all these connectors because I know I can see that the problem is here. And we'll see if that has solved the problem. It did not solve the problem. So, let me try a little. Santi? Go and get your voltmeter. So this is the other possibility that I don't know. Test. Test. So this is not. Test. It's not even showing the audio. Some audio is coming through. Okay. Test. So we're getting audio right now. It's not showing here on the receiver, and it is cutting in and out of the wireless receiver and not making it to the mixer. Okay, it's working right now. We'll give it one more try. Okay. I'm not going to use it because I think the microphone is okay. I'm pretty sure there's something flaky in the wire. Now it's, I just saw it. Test one. No? Test. Actually, Vasanti, let me change my mind. I am really puzzled now. Test. test. Okay. I am still doubtful, but we got other options. Let me continue. I'd be ashamed. We're all sitting here, and we're halfway into the class. Let's try to continue. I have one more option here. If it is the microphone, I have another microphone, which Vasanti was kind enough to bring. Is this still cutting out? No. Okay. So let's continue and see what happens. Really sorry, but what can we do? All the technology is wonderful, but nothing is completely reliable. By the way, what about our own bodies? You know, we can't even count on them. Days we can't get out of bed. Okay, back to our verse. Kavayaha, the ancient rishis who received this wisdom from Narayana, who is Sri Krishna. There's the context. So those ancient rishis, na eva upayanti, they were unable to express tava isha, at the end of the line, ish, O Lord, isha, tava apachitam, their gratitude for you. They couldn't express their gratitude, brahma ayusha api, even if they had the lifetime of Brahmaji. Lifetime of Brahmaji is one kalpa. So if they were to live for one kalpa, they would not be able to express their gratitude. And why? Because smarantaha, they would be going on krit, smarantaha, remembering, kritam, remembering your deeds, and ridam, rida mudaha, their minds would be so elated. Rida means increased. So they would be so elated thinking about the deeds of, in this case, Narayana, who is Sakshat Krishna, who is Lord Krishna. The rishis are so elated that they couldn't express their gratitude over millions and millions of lifetimes or years. And finally, and why is that? What is so special about the deeds about Narayana in the form of Sri Krishna? And the reason is given in the second half here. Because Yaha, you are the one who, to the end, Ashubham Vidhunvan. You are the one who removes suffering. How do you remove suffering? End of the final line. You remove suffering by when you vyanakti, by becoming manifest, swagatim, your own self becoming manifest. Did it cut out? No? Okay, must be my... Hey, test. I hope no one online is using headphones. That would be really annoying. Okay, let's finish this up. So, you remove all suffering by manifesting yourself. And this is actually quite lovely. You see that antar bahis tanu britam. Tanu brit is one who has a body. And what kind of body? Two kinds. One is antar, inside, and the other is bahihi, outside. So we're talking about Narayana or Lord Krishna right now. So what is he saying? Well, there is there is bahihi, an outside body. What is that outside body in the final line? Acharya Vapusha. Three words here. Acharya, Chaitya, Vapusha. So there is Acharya Vapus. In fact, this is an Acharya Vapus. This is a body of a teacher. So the body of the teacher is understood then as a manifestation of Narayana. And not only the body of the teacher, but also antaha, antar, within, as the chaitya vapush. Chaitya means conscious, as the consciousness within. This is really high poetry. This is stuff that scholars love to ponder for hours and hours. And by the way, this is the kind of poetry that Kalidasa and all the great poets are so fond of. Although Kalidasa takes it a step further, here we have a fairly limited vocabulary. Kalidasa uses the most incredibly vast vocabulary. He uses words that you never imagined existed in the language, so it's even higher than this. But this is lovely, and I hope my explanation, as crude as it was, I hope it gives you some flavor of that poetry. And remember the context now. So we're getting this high poetry because apparently Uddhava feels bad about complaining and wants to smooth it over with Sri Krishna, so he does so with these really poetic verses. Now, Sri Shuka Uvacha, Sri Shuka Uvacha, Sri Shuka. This is the outer story in the Bhagavata Purana. Remember when we were studying Mahabharata, there was an outermost story, then a story within that, and then a story within that. We find that same style here in the Bhagavata Purana and much of the literature. Most of you understand that very well. So the outermost story in the Bhagavata Purana is about the King Parikshit, who gets cursed. I won't do the long story. Remember the snake and all of this stuff. Anyway, he gets cursed to die, and he's got a few days to live. What does he do with his few days to live? He seeks out Sri Shuka, who is the son of Vyasa, for the sake of spiritual instruction. And the dialogue between Sri Shuka and King Parikshit is really the underlying story of the entire Bhagavata Purana. In that context, we have this Uddhava Gita. So Sri Shuka says, and he's saying it to whom? To King Parikshit is the context. What does he say? We still have a long meter here. This is 12 syllables. It yuddhaven hatyanurakta chetasa. It yuddhaven hatyanurakta chetasa. Prishto jagat krinanaka swashakti bihi. Pushto jagat krinanaka swashakti bihi. Grahita murti. Traya Ishwareshwaro, Grahita Murti, Traya Ishwareshwaro, Jagara Saprema Manohara Smitaha, Jagara Saprema Manohara Smitaha. So, Prishtaha, beginning of the second line, Sri Krishna has been asked by whom in the first line? Uddhavena. Having been asked by Uddhava, are my ears cutting in and out? Do you hear any cutting in and out? Okay, so it's me. Oh, and now it's okay, good. And you have headphones on, good. So we're okay, I don't have to worry about it anymore. Tell me if it does cut out. Okay, so having been questioned by Uddhava iti thus questioned, referring to the past verses, and Uddhava who is anurakta chetasa. So Uddhava whose chetas, whose mind is anurakta, devoted to Sri Krishna. And Sri Krishna now, so Uddhava is described here as being devoted. Sri Krishna is described quite differently as being Jagat Kridanakaha. What an expression. Kridanaka is one who has a toy. Kridana. Many of you know that term. What is the toy? Jagat. The one for whom the world is but a toy. What an expression, referring to Sri Krishna. Who, so shakti vihi, by his own power, grahita, he assumed murti trayaha, three forms. What are those three forms? Brahmaji, creator, Vishnu, sustainer, and Shiva, so-called destroyer, Maheshwara. So notice here, Sri Krishna is being put on that topmost rung. People love hierarchies. I don't know why. But anyway, so we have this hierarchy. We have all the devatas, Surya and Varuna and all of that. They're on a lower tier. Below that, we have some Gandharvas. Way, way down, we're sitting there. Anyway, going up the hierarchy, you go beyond the Gandharvas to the devatas that govern the universe. Then you go up a line, go up further. We have all the deities we commonly worship, Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, Devi, Ganapati, etc., etc. But here we have the top rung of our hierarchy is occupied by whom? Sri Krishna. Now, the reason Sri Krishna occupies the highest rung, as we discussed before, is we're studying the Bhagavata Purana. Suppose we were studying a section from the Shiva Purana. Who would have that top rung? Shiva, of course. And all the others, and Lord Krishna would be demoted, so to speak, to the second. So I'm kind of dwelling on this and being lighthearted about it to make a point. You know, especially the Puranas are very... this is the way the Puranas are. They're stories. And any good storyteller knows how to tell the story by taking the main character and putting them on a pedestal. Right? That's one of the rules of storytelling. So Bhagavata Purana will put Lord Krishna on that pedestal. Shiva Purana will put Shiva on that pedestal. How about Devi Purana? That's it. So this is the way the Puranas work. Whoever is the main deity gets put on that pedestal. And therefore, at the end of the third line, Sri Krishna here is called Ishvara. Ishwaraha, the God of gods, the Lord of lords, the God of all those other gods, meaning top of the hierarchy. What did he do? Jagada, he said, he spoke. So Sri Krishna spoke. This is Sri Shuka narrating this to the king, Parikshit. And he's narrating that Sri Krishna, finally, Jagada, he said to Uddhava. And how did he say? Suprema, with love. Also, with manohara smitaha, with a delightful smile. You get the poetic sense continues here. So what did Sri Krishna say? We'll get started here. Sri Bhagavanuvacha, Sri Bhagavanuvacha, Hanta, I gotta get the right raga in my head. Hanta te kat. Oh, thank you. Hanta
Hantate katayashyami, hantate katayashyami, mama dharman sumangalan, mama dharman sumangalan, yan shraddhaya charan martyo, yan shraddhaya charan martyo, mrityum jayati durjayam, mrityum Yum Jayati Durjayam.
So, Sri Bhagavan, the Blessed Lord, in this case, Sri Krishna, he said to Uddhava, Hanta, O dear one, Te, unto you, Katayashyami, I will tell. Notice when you go to that short eight syllable meter called Anushtub. In fact, it's often called shloka meter, and because technically shloka is a name for this meter, having only eight syllables, it's so much easier to read and understand, and that's why most of our scriptures are in the short meter. So, O dear Uddhava, te katayashyami, unto you I will tell you, mama dharman, my dharma. And dharma is one of these words where you have to understand the context. You can't just assume that dharma means righteousness. Because if I start saying that coolness is the dharma of water, this is taught in all the logic texts. The texts on logic say that coolness is the dharma of water. Can you translate it as righteousness? There, dharma means property. What a very different meaning. So and all words are like that. We have to get the right meaning. And here, dharma also doesn't mean property, doesn't mean righteousness either. So Sri Krishna, what is the context? Sri Krishna is teaching Uddhava. The context is teachings. Dharma here means teachings. That's what it means here. In fact, that's actually, how about when we say that this religion, the formal name for this religion is Sanatana Dharma? Does dharma mean righteousness in that expression? Does dharma mean property? So it means teachings, Sanatana Dharma, the eternal teaching. So it's used in that sense. Please note this, because many people, when they're reading some text, not just you, I'm sad to point this out, many translators make this mistake, and that's really a problem, because then you pick up their translation assuming they know what's going on, and sadly, they don't always. There are many skillful translators, but not all of them, unfortunately. So, Sri Krishna says, I'm going to tell you mama dharman, my teachings. Now, he's already given the teachings on jnana, which Uddhava complained were too complicated. So Sri Krishna says, I'm going to tell you teachings which are sumangalan, which are very, I've said powerful here, but I think better to say more beneficial. The commentator says easy. I'm going to tell you something that's easier for you to follow. Yan shraddhaya acharan, yan, those teachings, acharan, following those teachings, shraddhaya, with faith, with conviction, with dedication, by following those teachings, the easier teachings, with dedication, martyaha, a mortal person like Uddhava, mrityum jayati, can overcome death, can get out of this world of samsara, which is durjayam, which is very difficult to do. So these teachings are easy compared to the teachings of the prior chapter. In the prior chapter, Jnanam, very profound, heavy teachings of spiritual wisdom, which are not accessible for everyone. And if you come to these classes and if you have a hard time occasionally where it gets very heavy, you're in good company because Uddhava also. He got confused. He said, "Oh Krishna, this is too hard for me." If Uddhava spoke American English, he'd say, "Give me a break." And so Sri Krishna now is going to give Uddhava and all of us a break by giving us teachings which are, I won't say easier, better to say more accessible. And he begins, and we'll just see an overview of this first verse, and then we'll get into the essence of it next week. So just briefly. Kuryat sarvani karmani, kuryat sarvani karmani, marartam shanakai smaran, marartam shanakai smaran, mayarpita manaschitto, mayarpita manaschitto, madharmatma manoratihi, madharmatma manoratihi. Sarvani kurvan, I'm giving you a quiz. Sarvani karmani, all deeds, kuryat, you should do, madartam, for my sake. Have you heard this kind of teaching before? You should do all teachings for my sake. That sure sounds a lot like karma yoga. And that's where he begins. And that's exactly the relationship of karma yoga to jnana. And that is, if you are not fully prepared for that profound wisdom of the ancient rishis, what should you do? You shouldn't just give up. What should you do? Practice karma yoga. And when we meet next week, we'll begin with this verse and understand what that karma yoga is. Let me just share one word out of that verse to end our class with. He says, you should do all deeds for my sake, smaran, remembering me. I like this word, shanakaihi, which means like shanaihi, slowly. You should do your deeds slowly. I'm kind of exaggerating to make a point. And that is, if work is going to be a spiritual practice for you, that's karma yoga, right? To convert your ordinary deeds into a form of spiritual practice, then what should you do? Get it over with as quick as you can. Wait a minute, it's a spiritual practice. If it's work, you do want to get it over with as quick. If you're doing, by the way, I'm the same way. If I've got a bunch of emails and administrative work, I definitely want to get it over with as quick as I can. But if I don't look upon it as work, if I look upon it as karma yoga, why would I want to get it over with as quick as possible? That's an interesting shift of perspective, and especially for us in modern times, when we are not simply trying to get it over with work, get it over with as quickly as possible, but we're also multitasking at the same time. We're doing two or three things at the same time and trying to get them all done as quickly as possible. Do you think that approach towards our worldly activities might make it harder to practice karma yoga by bringing a prayerful attitude. It's pretty hard to have a prayerful attitude when you're multitasking. It's hard to have a prayerful attitude when you're trying to get it over with as quickly as possible. And the point, I went to, you know, we spent so much of this class messing around with the sound system. I apologize for that. So I want to leave you with a very nice perspective for the day and maybe for the coming week. And that is, if you want to cultivate a prayerful attitude towards your day-to-day activities, which is the essence of karma yoga, maybe we have to rethink some of our attitudes towards work. This attitude that I need to get it done with as quickly as possible. Why? So I can relax. And look at this. Is relaxing a spiritual practice? Not usually. So maybe, and the same goes for multitasking. The very fact that you're multitasking precludes the possibility of having a prayerful attitude, because to have a prayerful attitude means two things are going on simultaneously: work and prayer. That's already multitasking, isn't it? It is. Karma, I've never made this observation. Nice. One of the joys of teaching is you get to learn new things. And here's something new. Karma yoga is a form of multitasking. It is. Because you are doing your job, whatever the work is, and you are simultaneously reflecting on some aspect of what you're doing or your situation in which you are personally connected to Ishvara. And there are so many ways that you can do it, and I don't want to get into those details right now, but it is a form of multitasking. You're doing what you have to do, and simultaneously you are reflecting on what you're doing in a prayerful manner. Work plus prayerful reflection is multitasking. If Sri Krishna lived today, he would probably approve of that observation. And it means that you have to be ready for that particular kind of multitasking. You can't be doing two or three other things simultaneously, and you certainly can't be doing it with the attitude, let me get over with this as quickly as possible. Anyway, these are just a few comments on how Sri Krishna begins. What a lovely way to begin. If you find the wisdom of the ancient rishis too difficult to comprehend at first, then practice karma yoga, because karma yoga will help you get prepared to understand those teachings of the ancient rishis. Good. It's a good place to conclude for today. Tomorrow we will continue with the Upadesha Sahasri class, our Vedanta class, at 10 o'clock, followed by satsang at 11 o'clock, questions and answers. Please come and join us, and we'll conclude with our prayers.
Om Gananahan Twa Ganapatigam Avamahe Kavin Kavinam Upamashravastamam Jeshtarajam Brahmanam Brahmanaspatahanashrinvan Uttabhisira Sadhanam Om Mahaganapataye Namaha Ishvaro Gururatmeti Murti Bheda Vibhagine Vyomavad Vyapta Dehaya Dakshina Murtaye Namaha Vasudeva Sutam Devam Kamsachanuramardhanam Devaki Paramanandam Krishnam Vande Jagat Guru Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinah Sarve Santu Niramayah Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu Ma Kashchid Dukha Bhag Bhavet Asato Ma Sadgamaya Tamaso Ma Jyotirgamaya Mrityorma Hamritangamaya Om Shanti 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 Om Tat Sat.